Well, recently, I picked up this book here, lovely orange book, by John Mark Comer, called The Ruthless Elimination of Hurry. And in this book, he refers to a situation that you've probably found yourself in. You run into somebody that you know, and then you ask the customary, "Oh, hey, how are you doing?" And their reply is, "Oh, good, just busy." Can you identify with that? Ever had that happen? Ever been you? I know that that's been me before. Comer goes on to say, pay attention and you will find that answer everywhere, across ethnicity, gender, stage of life, even class. College students are busy. Young parents are busy. CEOs living on golf courses are busy. Empty nesters are busy. So are baristas and part-time nannies. Americans are busy. Kiwis are busy. Germans are busy. We're all busy. And not only that, busyness, I think, has become a mark of status in some circles, right? If you're busy, you must be important because you've got all of these special things that you're doing. You're leading a full and worthwhile life. Our culture is very busy. But is that the way that it should be? And what does this busyness cost? You know, 10 years ago, a family doctor wrote an op-ed in the Boston Times called "Busy is the New Sick." And in it, this doctor wrote, "In the past few years, I've observed an epidemic of sorts, patient after patient suffering from the same condition. The symptoms include fatigue, irritability, insomnia, anxiety, headaches, heartburn, bowel disturbances, back pain, weight gain. There's no blood tests or x-rays to diagnose the condition, and yet it's easy to recognize. The condition is excessive busyness." That was 10 years ago, and the pace of life has only increased since then. We live very busy. Is that, though, consistent with a life lived in Jesus? Comer, in his book, points to a Finnish proverb that says, "God did not create hurry." Does it make sense for us then, as believers, as followers of Jesus, to get carried away by the busyness of the world? What does it mean to follow Jesus in the midst of a busyness epidemic? To answer that question, I want to look with you at another familiar story. You know, last week we looked at the Good Samaritan parable. This week, it's Mary and Martha in Luke 8. I have to say right off the bat that I really sympathize with Martha, and so I'm going to do what I can to rehabilitate her a little bit as we go here. But I think that as a culture, we really need to hear what Jesus says to Martha, and we need to learn from Martha's experience and encounter with Jesus. So turn with me to Luke 10, starting at verse 38. So this is right after the Good Samaritan. Luke 10, verse 38, and we are going to think about what it means to follow Jesus in the midst of a busyness epidemic. Luke 10, 38 says, "As Jesus and his disciples were on their way, he came to a village." The village is Bethany. "And in Bethany, there was a woman named Martha who opened up her home to him." Now, it's a very common occurrence in Jesus' experience. If you think back to a couple of weeks ago, Jesus says, you know, foxes have dens and birds have nests, but the Son of Man has no place to lay his head. He really relied on the hospitality of others, and that's exactly what has happened here. Martha has opened her home to Jesus, and she plans on preparing for him a feast worthy of who he is. Now, right off the bat, I want you to get the picture of like a 1950s housewife out of your head here, because this is first century Israel that we're talking about. You've got, you know, a couple of rooms, clay and stone. The meat is probably cooking outside on a fire if there is meat. The bread is cooking probably in an outdoor oven as well. Martha is running back and forth in and out the front door, checking on it, and then back inside cutting up the cucumbers and olives and chickpeas that are going to make up the meal. She is putting together a meal that would make Martha Stewart very proud. But verse 39, she has a sister. And her name's Mary. And Mary is not helping out with all of this woman's work. Mary's sitting at Jesus' feet, listening to what he had to say. Now that in and of itself is pretty incredible, because at this time and place in history, women didn't always have a chance to sit and listen from teachers. So the fact that she is there listening to Jesus is a pretty incredible thing as it is. Jesus was happy to teach her, but Martha was not happy about it. Verse 40, Martha was distracted by all the preparations that had to be made. She came to him and asked, "Lord, don't you care that my sister has left me to do all this work by myself? Tell her to help me." And that's a reasonable request, given the, you know, gender expectations at the time. But Jesus isn't having anything of it. He says, verse 41, "Martha, Martha." I think he really feels for her here. "You are worried and upset," or "you are anxious and troubled" is another way to translate it. "You are anxious and troubled about many things, but only one thing is needed." Mary has chosen what is better, i.e. to sit at my feet, and it will not be taken away from her. Jesus refuses to send Mary back into the kitchen, so to speak, because she has chosen the one thing that's really important here: time spent in Jesus' presence. You know, Mary models for us here real discipleship. She is choosing to invest in her relationship with Jesus. And this really, I think, is the point that we need to hear in this busyness epidemic, as it were. We need to slow down and invest in our relationships with Jesus. We need to stop the busy and sit at Jesus' feet. How many of you need to hear that today? I do, right? Julie and I both work full-time. We've got two kids in primary school. It's a pandemic we're living in right now. There are a million things that we need to do, and yet there is only one that is crucial, non-negotiable: growing in relationship with Jesus. There's a million things to do, but only one is vital: spending time at Jesus' feet. And you know what? It's the time that I spend at Jesus' feet that prepares me for doing the busy things that need to be done. We need to stop the busy and sit at Jesus' feet. How do you do that? Well, first, I think you start with silence and solitude. You find a quiet place to be alone with the Lord. Maybe you need to cut back on some of the things that you're committed to through the week. For sure, turn off your phone or your notifications. Get rid of distractions. Turn off the TV or the radio. Maybe leave your phone in another room. The Comer guy actually said, apparently iPhone users touch their phones more than 2,500 times in a day. Isn't that crazy? 2,000 and a half times in a day. Put it in another room. Slow down. Focus on the Lord. And then read a portion of the Bible, maybe a chapter of a book at a time. And then pray in light of what you have read in that chapter. Ask God to help you to apply what you have read. And then bring your cares and anxieties to the Lord. You know, admittedly, your quiet time might look different from mine. So maybe going for a walk is a part of it. Maybe sitting in front of a sunset is a part of your quiet time. But I really think that to sit at Jesus' feet, we do need three things. Silence, scripture, so that we're actually focused on the God of the Bible, and prayer. Silence, scripture, and prayer is how we focus on the Lord. That is how we stop the busy and sit at Jesus' feet. Now, in a sense, I could stop the message here, because that's the central point of this passage. That is what we, living in 21st century digital world, need to hear. But I think that we really need to take it one step further. Because absolutely, you have to spend time sitting at Jesus' feet. You have to stop the busy sometimes and recharge, as it were, at Jesus' feet. But you've still got responsibilities to do, right? You need to sit at Jesus' feet, but you can't be there all day. So, how do we apply this, stop the busy, and sit at Jesus' feet when we have legitimate things that we need to take care of? Well, let's start here. Martha was not wrong for wanting to serve, right? Somebody had to make the meal. And Martha seems to have loved being hospitable. Martha was not wrong for wanting to serve. It's just that she was putting her heart in the wrong place. You know, it would have made more sense, I think, to have peanut butter sandwiches and water and sit in the presence of the Lord than to be distracted by all the other things. Right? Verse 40, Martha was distracted by all the preparations and how the tablecloths were set out and the way that the cucumber skins were curled and all of these things. Verse 41, you are worried and upset. You are anxious and troubled about all of these things. Paraphrase, you are so busy majoring on the little details that you're missing out, Martha, on what's really important here. The Lord of the universe is in your house wanting to teach you how to get eternal and abundant life, and you're worried about napkins? She's worried about if there's going to be enough food when the guy who turned a bit of bread and fish into a meal for thousands is right there. The problem here is not her desire to serve. That's a good desire. She was just doing it with a distracted heart. She was distracted by the details and forgot why she was doing it in the first place, right? She wanted to honor Jesus by having a meal for him. And so, just like us, I think Martha had to learn how to stop the busy and sit at his feet. And you know, I really think that she did. Because Luke 10 is not the only place where Martha appears. John 11, Lazarus is raised back to life. And then John 12, it says that Mary and Martha had another meal in Jesus' honor. And in John 12, guess what Martha is doing? It says they held a banquet and Martha served. That's who she is. She loves taking care of her family, preparing food for other people, serving her Lord. And those are all good things. What's the difference this time? I think that she has learned to stop the busy and to sit at Jesus' feet and then take that centeredness out to do what she needs to do. I think that she has spent time at Jesus' feet and then gone out to do what she needs to do with her heart fixed on Christ. She's learned to stop the busy and go out and do what she's got to do with her heart fixed on Jesus. I think that that is how you apply this message and how you follow Jesus in the midst of this epidemic. You stop the busy, you sit at Jesus' feet, and then you go do what you need to do with your heart fixed on Jesus. Right? There is no hierarchy here between spiritual life and work life. This passage teaches us to invest in our spiritual life, be shaped by that time, and then take it into the work that we need to do. Work and worship are the same. How many of you would identify with Martha more than Mary? Show of hands out of curiosity. Yeah. Nobody here in church wanted to admit it, but they finally put their hands up. I was suspicious. I'm a Martha. I totally want to get stuff done. Well, Julie would probably disagree with me. I'm something of a contemplative. But man, Marthas are good. The world needs more Marthas who have sat at Jesus' feet and then carried his presence out into the world to do what they need to do. So if you're a Martha, great, invest in that. Invest in your relationship with Jesus. Make that your one thing that absolutely has to be done. And then allow your relationship with him, the blessings that come from him, peace from him, to flow out into the rest of the things that you do. Just stop the busy, sit at Jesus' feet, and then do what you need to do with a heart focused on Jesus. If you, I'll close with this. If you Google busyness epidemic, you will find literally thousands of articles talking about it. I found 6,001 in my brief search. And many of those articles will tell you what to do about being busy. And I skimmed through a bunch of them. And a common trend that I noticed is this. One of the ways that they say to battle busyness is to make sure that what you're doing lines up with what you value. Right, so don't get lost in the details of doing this and that for all sorts of other people and doing the finicky little things. Instead, make sure that you are expending your time and energy on things that really that are very valuable to you. And I thought, you know what, they're kind of onto something, because that's kind of what Jesus taught 2,000 years ago. Right? Don't get hung up on the extraneous stuff. Don't get bogged down in the details. Take your relationship with Jesus as the most valuable thing. Invest time in it, and then let that inform all that you do in the rest of the world. Stop the busy. Sit at Jesus' feet. And then go and do what you got to do with your heart fixed on Jesus. Let's pray. I just want to sit for a minute in this, because, Lord, we say, be still and know that I am God, and then we just get back to what we were doing because we got to do these other things. Here we are to be still before you. The world races on. And we have so many things that we think we need to do. We watch the minutes tick by. And yet, Lord, there is only one thing that is absolutely vital to us. And that is to sit at your feet, to learn from you, to become more like you, to discover how deeply and incredibly you care for us. You have Jesus' permission to say no. Jesus, we are grateful that you say, come to me, all you who are weary and heavy laden. You give us permission to stop the hectic schedule and be still. I pray that you would help us to do that. I pray that instead of being anxious and fussing, that we would bring all of our concerns to you and then experience the peace of God that surpasses all understanding. And then, Lord, I pray that you would help us to carry your presence out into the world. God, there are people in this congregation who are doing wonderful and important things for our community, for our families, in their jobs. Lord, they are doing wonderful, valuable, incredibly important things. I pray that what they do there would be fueled by what they learn in your presence. I pray that you would help us to apply this, Lord, and that we would all be better for knowing your constant presence with us. We pray this in your name, Jesus. Amen.